And I'm going to be chatting to Lynn Julius about a topic that's got me really, really excited. Lynn, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you very much, Nicholas. Happy to be here.
The Jewish communities in the Middle East and North Africa are absolutely fascinating. They're so diverse. They have this incredible, vibrant culture. But you spent years documenting the history of these communities. And, that we've lost nearly a million Jews have been displaced to become refugees from these Arab countries over the past century. And, so little is spoken about this compared to other narratives in the region. Let's touch on why you think so little is being spoken about, but also let's go into a little bit of the history of these incredible communities.
Yeah, well, as you say, there are very few Jews left from really ancient communities that go back thousands of years, well before Islam. You could say that they are indigenous to the Middle East, and that is outside the land of Israel. They're Middle East, they're indigenous to countries like Iraq, Morocco, Libya, Lebanon, Syria, Yemen, Egypt, and almost no Jews still live there today. We're down to about 4,000.
Wow.
There are more Arabs living in Tel Aviv than there are Jews living in the Arab world.
And what has anything really been brought to the public attention about this mass displacement?
Well, things are improving gradually, but there's still a lot of work to be done because it should be a kind of natural talking point, if you like. Certainly when the Palestinian refugees come up in conversation, people, especially Jews, ought to raise the question of the Jewish refugees who actually outnumbered the Palestinian refugees. And what's different about them is the Palestinian refugees were caught up in a war and fled, a precarious situation within Palestine, whereas the Jewish refugees were picked on, even though they were non-combatants. And they were victims of violent riots, massacres, and also state-sanctioned persecution. So there is quite a difference between the two sets of refugees. But when refugees are discussed, we ought to make clear that there were two sets, not just one.
And I think it's something really that may not be so well understood, that it wasn't just that the communities were kicked out of the country, but there was, as you said, serious oppression, very, very ill treatment of these communities for a very long period of time leading up to the expulsion.
Yes, I think it's true that the roots of the expulsion go back really to the relationship between Jews and Muslims in the Muslim world. The relationship of the Jews was one of inferiority. The Jews were allowed to practice their religion, Jews and Christians actually, but they had a particular status called dhimmi. It was an inferior status. And they basically had to buy their protection by paying a tax to the ruler of the day. And they were subject to all sorts of humiliations and restrictions. They did not have the same legal rights. And this situation was particularly bad in places like Morocco, in places like Iran and Yemen. But elsewhere in the Ottoman Empire, where there were other minorities, it wasn't as bad for the Jews.
I had have a very dear friend. Her mom. Go ahead.
Came to head.
Yes,
I should say.
Sorry.
with the rise of Arab nationalism, minorities found themselves excluded from the Arab movement for independence. you know, which took on a kind of blood and soil character. And there was no place for minorities, and they were sort of ushered towards the exit. And then as soon as Israel was declared, Jews were accused of being Zionist spies for Israel, even though there was no evidence for this. But what is relevant to the situation today is that the same thing is happening, I find, in the West. You know, Jews and Zionists are being inflated, and Jews are being attacked for being Jews. And that's exactly what happened in the Arab world.
And just as a last question as we wrap up, because this is a really fascinating subject, if people want to go and visit any of these communities that are left, I know I was recently in Tunisia, I forget the name of it, there is an island which had a very strong community. Jennifer. Yes. Where would you suggest people go to see and get a first-hand understanding of what happened?
Well, I'm not sure you would get much of an understanding just by visiting. I mean, what you will do is you'll be shown various synagogues, you'll be shown Jewish quarters, and then you'll be told, well, actually, there are not many Jews left.
Right.
But you won't be told why.
Okay.
I think countries have actually, you know, preserved their synagogues, like Tunisia. I think they've restored the main synagogue in Tunis.
Mm-hmm.
And there is quite a vibrant community in Djerba. You know, you can also visit Morocco and see various Jewish sites, cemeteries, you know, all very well preserved. But even there, the community is 1% of what it used to be.
Right.
So, I mean, but real dying communities, I would say.
Lynn, thank you so much for your time, and thank you for sharing this. And for the point that you made, which I'm taking out of this conversation, that we as Jews should be raising this when the refugee question is raised and is spoken about. It's something that we need to share, and it's something that we need to inform people about. Lynn Julius.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Lynn. I really appreciate your time.